Do you play rock and roll music?
Oh, no, sir. I consider it degrading, deteriorating, and degenerating.
The music, if you can call it that, physically assaults anyone dumb enough to listen.
I can't take no more of this radio.
Rock and roll is for morons.
The rock and roll dance party, raw, primitive, out of control. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. till midnight, right here on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. It's 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. This is a special edition of the program. This is the first of a series of specials on my recent trip to North Korea. This particular episode will be focused on the city of Kaesong, which is in the southern part of North Korea. In fact, it was once a part of South Korea before the war, and then after the war, Kaesong was part of North Korea. In fact, it's also the only city in North Korea that was not completely bombed to smithereens by American fighters during that war. So it's one of the few places where you can actually see some old buildings. What you're going to hear is basically a narrative that was recorded in the streets at night, along with some radio broadcasts that were also recorded while inside the country. Unfortunately, you're also going to hear a couple of times, we tried to cut this down as much as possible, but you'll hear the hard drive whirring into position occasionally on the iRiver. It's because that's just one of the features of that particular device. But we tried to cut that down to only two or three occasions, so we apologize for that awful sound when you hear it. But for now, here's a Night in Kaesong, North Korea. We'd like to know what you think. OTW at 2600 is our email address.
Korea. This is Voice of Korea.
This is Voice of Korea.
Say Kim Jong-il. Why do you say Kim Jong-il?
It's not even a sentence.
Oh, people walk down the street here and they say Kim Jong-il for no reason at all. So what's weird about this is that we're standing in the middle of a city and it's really, really dark and there's all these people walking around at high speed and sort of frantic activity, moving things from one place to another, shouting at each other, and it's very quiet. And there's something really kind of cool about that, right?
Nice. If we didn't need a generator for the electricity, it would be even quieter.
Yeah, it's the other thing. Electricity has gone out, and there's this generator power. But that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And I have to say, this is probably the most unusual place. Well, I don't know if Pyongyang is as unusual or more unusual, but the country is the most unusual place I think I've ever been in.
I mean, I think each place must be different. Because Pyongyang obviously is more for show, and you wouldn't see things done for show in most of the places to that extent. And here it's unusual for the reasons that we're able to just stand around and watch these people we're not supposed to.
Yeah, and this is real. I mean, it's like everything I've been told about this place is that it's all staged, it's all controlled, and this is real. We're standing actually in a place where no one's watching us right now, and we're hearing the city around us, not like any city we're familiar with, but that vehicle is like the only vehicle I've heard in like the last hour. Yeah, it could be a bus. That's the thing. Like when vehicles move down streets, they're constantly just honking their horn because all the pedestrians, bicyclists, and goats are in the way, and they have to move out of the way, otherwise they get run down. And that's really what they do. They just sort of drive and honk. But it's really only a couple of vehicles an hour down the road, I think. But I have to say, I mean, I'm blown away by just the friendliness of the people. I didn't expect this overt type of friendliness where, you know, you wave out the bus window and everybody waves back and everyone's smiling and I hear a dog.
I think, you know, when you read and hear people talk about it, like you've been saying, there's a certain amount of propaganda or misunderstanding, and you don't get the impression there's a functioning country.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there quite obviously is, and it's working, you know, okay. They get their stuff done, and you know, there might be problems, but essentially these people are leading what they believe to be normal lives.
Absolutely.
And being productive and being paid for it. And so, you know, if the whole thing doesn't quite work perfectly, then okay, but that's not the impression you get, you know, with these people who are given money, given food and shipped in to Pyongyang.
Right, right.
And that's all you kind of understand from some of what you might read otherwise.
That's amazing. If you're just walking by and we're standing here and nobody's paying us any mind.
Well, we are standing outside a hotel, so I suppose they're slightly...
Yeah, I guess.
But it's not obviously a hotel, but they must know this is where some Westerners stay.
Perhaps. I mean, there are lots of road barriers. You go down the road and vehicles are stopped and they have to like present some kind of documentation to get further. And I imagine people have to do the same thing. So it could be if we like walked in a different direction, we'd have to present documentation to get out. So we might be in some kind of like gated area, or compound or something like that, where we could just stand here to our heart's content.
I didn't notice any coming in, though.
Yeah, I didn't either. And there was that time when we were just in town, and we were in town. There was just no question about it. That was the town. So
it's got in the British countryside. You know, you drive around your car. It's all very nice, but you don't really see anyone. Mm-hmm. And to see, you know, per day, literally probably hundreds of people going from one place to another is very different. And obviously, the countryside is different anyway. But
yeah,
it's very active even in the countryside.
Well, we were pretty much driving all day today. And we hardly saw any other vehicles. So the occasional army vehicle. The other bus, obviously, and a couple of cars, but not very many at all. And it was just a lot of people walking, riding bicycles, a lot of people in the fields and the farmland, working the fields, having ox pulling equipment to till the soil. I mean, it's I guess it goes back to a time when we used to be a lot less industrial as far as how our lives were run. And who's to say that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh,
It's more activity. People are carrying tables and stuff past us. I sense some activity to our right as well. You know, I was under the impression, like, when I came here, everybody would be all, you know, straight-laced and serious and wouldn't laugh, wouldn't have fun. And I've seen the opposite. I've seen people basically just acting like humans act, having a joke, you know, doing fun things.
And also what isn't necessarily obvious is kind of the way they deal with love and marriage and that kind of stuff. But we saw karaoke on TV with videos of essentially kind of romances where a woman's working in a field and a man comes along and she picks him a flower and he says thanks and then he holds her hand. And, you know, it's pretty much the same kind of romance as we might find in perhaps slightly dated a song, but still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's nothing put on about that. You know, they're not. That idea isn't enforced.
Oh. Got a bit of a look from her as she walked by. She said, one of those bizarre looking people. But yeah, it is a very romantic type of society. One of the guides saw my eye river and wanted to listen to the music that I had. I was, uh-oh, what's he going to think of the kind of music I listen to? But he wanted to hear love songs. He wanted to hear, and that's what they do a lot of here. If you listen to the music, a lot of it is operatic and just kind of soft rock, I hate to say, but that's kind of the thing they're into. And a lot of the romance in music, it's just not what you'd expect. Let's just say that the stars are amazing. I mean, it's kind of a cloudy night, but
it's slightly hazy with light in.
I mean, if it were not hazy right now, I suspect we would see more stars than you could see in the countryside in the places we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
That and the silence is just incredible, considering we're in the middle. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when in the countryside.
No.
Imagine what we'll be able to see there, assuming the weather holds out. I happen to like silence at night. I think that's a good thing. So this sort of appeals to me.
You can kind of smell kind of smoke or wood burn smoke in the air. So it's obviously hazy for a reason.
Right.
But it's not polluted. It's nothing like Beijing.
No.
It's horrible, you know. Yeah, it just didn't smell nice here.
Well, Beijing,
it just happens to be a bonfire was nearby, you know.
Right. Beijing, people walk around with masks on their faces because the pollution is so bad.
And some people are still worried about SARS.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you can say all sorts of things, but one thing this country does not have is air pollution. I mean, because there's not a whole lot of things belching smoke into the air. Not a lot of vehicles. Not a lot of smokestacks that I could see.
I mean, they obviously have steel production because they write about it. And so there will be places, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, perhaps if everyone had the same, if everyone around the world had the same kind of proportion,
right.
there wouldn't be such an issue. Perhaps the world would be able to deal with that without heating up so much.
But that would involve people having ox pulling their,
well,
pulling their fields.
Well, obviously, they're the significant problems.
There are sacrifices to make, and you'd have to walk around, ride your bicycles and things like that. But, you know, it's a way of life here. It's a way of life I don't think we can comprehend and fully appreciate, but you do have to respect it and realize that it's different. It does work. It works for them. And we can't understand that, and perhaps they can't understand us. But I think we can respect each other and realize that it's just different.
It's good that they want reunification. I believe they do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't possibly begin to imagine what would happen if, you know, tomorrow the gates were opened. I mean,
I can tell you.
Essentially, it's not possible. But even if there wasn't confrontation because of that, the clash of cultures, you know, basically, it would certainly spoil this part of the peninsula.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know. It is pretty much very difficult to work out what would happen.
There'd be a lot of confusion because the cultures are just so incredibly different. Have grown apart so much. I mean, obviously, it'd be good for people to be able to reunite and things like that, and something both sides want, but with different rules applied. But, I mean, you have a completely different way of life up here than you do down in the South, and you can't just mix that and expect it to, you know, turn into something nice. Mm. It's going to be a lot of culture shock. This is the definition of culture shock right here.
Having said that, I mean, in some ways it's been fairly easy to be shown it and to, you know, to integrate on that level.
Well, so I mean, they've been incredibly hospitable. They're terrific hosts. I mean, they look out for your every need. Obviously, they want to know where you are at all times, but they take care of you really well, and they've been pretty open and honest with us as far as answering questions and you know, helping us out when possible. Can't ask for really more than that, I don't think.
No.
But yeah, I mean, you have to come in here with certain expectations, or not expectations, the opposite expectations, actually. You know, if you think that if you expect something, if you expect like what you're used to, you're not going to find it, obviously. If you expect certain things, like for instance, we were told tonight that that we can't have hot water tonight. In fact, we can only have hot water between 7 and 7:30 tomorrow morning. And, you know, how many are in our group?
40.
40? So 40 people have to use hot water between 7 and 7:30 tomorrow, and that's it. That's the only time we have to do it. You know, if that kind of thing upsets you, obviously, this is not the kind of thing you want to do. But if you're willing to make those kind of sacrifices, yeah, then you'll have the time of your life because it's just so different. I've said this to many people. If I ever came to this place, it's like going to another planet. And being here now, yeah, this is like another planet. This is so totally different, so totally alien. I can't imagine going anywhere else on this planet and feeling this way. I really can't.
No, I agree.
Idehan 수령지 밀성동지는 태양의 빛과 같은 광기로운 예지로 시대와 인류가 나아갈 앞길을 밝히소. 태양의 열과 같은 뜨거운 사랑으로 사람들에게 참다운 삶과 행복을 안겨주시었으며 태양의 인력과 같은 거대한 힘으로 만민을 매혹시키신 위대한 태양이시다. 태양은 영원 불멸하다. 저 하늘의 태양이 영원하듯이 위대한 수령 김일성 동지는 경애하는 김정일 장군님 마련해 주신 뜻깊은 태양절과 더불어 동부궁 번영할 성군조국과 더불어 천년 만년 길이길이 영생하실 것이다.
시를 보내드리겠습니다. 4월은 영원한 봄입니다.
빛도 눈부신 4월 15일 태양절 이날이 있어 이 땅의 4월은 봄입니다. 복숭아꽃, 살구꽃 활짝 웃는 만경대 고향집들학은 우리 수령님 초자욱 대신 이강산의 봄들학. 만경봉의 청신한 바람결을 타고 극히 풍겨오는 솔향기, 망원을 터치는 꽃들의 속삭임, 새들의 청아한 지조김 소리, 약동하는 봄의 그 숨결 속에 나는 수령님의 자욱소리 듣습니다. 그 자욱에서 백두의 장소리 녹고 그 자욱 따라서 이 땅에 찾아와 우리의 마음속에 깃든 봄. 집집의 창가마다 밝게 피는 주웃음은 눈바람도 지울 수 없는 봄입니다. 낭낭한 아이들의 조글리소리는 세월도 지울 수 없는 봄노래입니다. 위대한 태양의 사랑 흐르는 날과 날들의 깃들어 우리의 삶도 자연도 영원히 꽃피는 내 조국. 수령님의 한 평생은 인민의 봄입니다. 천년 세월 만년 세월 가지 않는 봄입니다. 아, 햇빛 밝은 이 땅은 4월의 봄강산, 내 나라는 4월의 봄나라.
홍현양 쓴 4월은 영원한 봄입니다. 시를 보내드렸습니다. 낭송의 방송은 황예량이었습니다.
Speaking of where we are, it's how do you pronounce the town? Kaesong?
I think so.
Yeah, the former, it's kind of confusing. The former capital. This town was actually in the south before the war, and after the war, this town was in the north. So that's one of the big differences that happened as a result.
It avoided being bombed.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Yeah, this town actually has really old buildings. Every single town in the north was obliterated by the Americans. I mean, it's true. It's just a fact that they were bombed to hell, and this town was not. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's amazing.
Statistic the North Koreans give is that there's more than one bomb per person.
Yeah, that wasn't that something.
I don't know if that's true, but it could easily be. I imagine, which is 140,000 people in the city. I think is what they said.
140,000 people in this city.
In Point Pyongyang, mm-hmm. And then they said that over 140,000 bombs were dropped.
In Pyongyang or in,
yeah.
in Korea? Okay.
Yeah. So basically, it was totally destroyed.
Yeah.
We'll verify that later.
Well, how? How do we verify it? We listen to the other side and get their propaganda.
Well, true, but I mean,
you have to take everything.
Yeah, you're right. Verification isn't quite the right word.
Yeah.
We'll see if it agrees later. And you know, my experiment, I think, has paid off for me. You know, not reading about it has given me the opportunity to see the land as they wanted me to see it.
You'd
be amazed at the hotel, which is surprising, I find, because I was genuinely kind of impressed at the hotel, and the whole place has really just been amazing. And learning about the history from them.
The hotel you're talking about, that's the one in Pyongyang. The
Pyongyang Hotel, yeah. Right. I mean, that's obviously built to impress.
Now, this hotel is so incredibly different than anything I've ever experienced, because first of all, we don't have beds. We sleep on the floor and on little, are they mattresses? What would you call those?
There's some form of padding.
Some form of padding. You
which folds around to cover you as well.
And that's fine. That's actually traditional. That's the way, you know, yep. I'd like to live the way the people live. But it's awesome. There's no locks on the doors. Like, we're walking around, and anybody could just simply walk into our room. Of course, it's not going to happen. We know that. It's just a very different...
It's a little bit like the Japanese ones, because it's slightly... Although it's a wooden frame for the door,
mm-hmm.
it's covered in what looks like paper, and there's just glass door to the outside, and so you take your shoes off. So mm-hmm. I think it's quite similar to other places.
I don't know if you can hear the dog barking, but it's interesting because dogs are treated very differently here. Like, the tour guide gave us this lecture about dogs on the bus, and she was saying how, yes, they have dog farms where they actually farm dogs for food, but they're not the same kind of dogs that they have for pets. Those are different. And you know, she was justifying this in various ways, and it's just, I couldn't get my head around it. You know, it's an alien concept to me to actually eat dogs, but people do that. And
at least here they admit to it.
They admit to it.
In South Korea, it's all a bit hush hush.
Yeah, that's true. But and you know, there are people who grow attached to cows and to horses. Well, a lot of people don't eat horses, that's for sure. But you know, vegetarians obviously have a lot of trouble eating animals, and those of us who do, we somehow have to justify it in our heads. And you know, it's kind of an interesting dilemma that you have to face.
It's so dark here that you can, with a little bit of help from the haze, you can see cars which are probably, possibly even a kilometre away.
Yeah.
Just turning corners, and you can see the light moving in the sky.
That's incredible.
There's basically nothing else. Even the street lamps, which we happen to have, I'm sure no one else has them, are very dim anyway.
Now, we've been standing here for a while, and like, all these people have passed us by. No one's questioned us or anything, and we hear the sound of the generator in the distance, the dog barking. We see occasional lights of cars in the distance. And it's just so peaceful. It really is. I wasn't expecting this.
Oh,
So we try to find this bar. Everybody is at.
Apparently there's a bar with seven seats, so those.
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of
a small bar.
All right.
Across the river, we're just standing next to the river.
Wait, we have to cross a river? I thought we had to cross a street.
Well, the street's in the middle. The river's in the middle of the street, so.
It is?
Yeah.
How does that work? How does the river get in the middle of the street?
Well, they obviously like building.
I mean, the streets pretty much hold one car. It's not really two-way streets, so.
Not really built for holding a car either, but. It could. It could. It's not exactly cobbled, but it's not tarmac either.
If you look down the path, you can imagine somebody's walking towards you, but I don't think someone is.
I see
a dark shape and I see a light shape, and I think they're both part of a building, but I could imagine that there are people actually walking in our direction. Of course, there are people right next to us coming from the left. I can see them.
No, I believe we have to go over the river. Which is actually a stream at the moment, but there's basically a massive bank for what I assume will be the rainy season.
Oh, wait, is this it right here?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a river someplace else.
No.
It's like a few feet in front of us. I didn't even see that. That's what everybody's walking to.
Further down, when we were driving in, there was a section of a river, not as built up as this with rocks and stuff, but there was a stream.
Right.
And there was obviously a floodplain where the river would be, and in the dry bit there was rice. And so they obviously don't expect the river to start flowing properly for quite a while now. But they use every bit of the land. It's amazing, actually. You just see a little hill, mm-hmm. and then any vaguely flat piece will be ploughed to either for rice or corn. I think there's five or six major produce. It's amazing, the use of the land. It's not any wasted at all. And yet they still complain we don't have enough. One of the tour guides said, we only have this much and it's very hard to grow enough for the population.
Well, a lot of it's mountainous and hard to grow on. So I see mm-hmm. people farming on the sides of mountains. It's incredible that they're able to do that.
And yeah, when I'm used to seeing sheep on the side of hills and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this isn't that. The sheep and the goats go elsewhere. This is kind of farming with fields on the side of mountains.
Yeah.
I don't think you see in many places.
No, not really. There's such a limited amount of space that they don't really have a choice.
No. But they certainly make good what they've got.
I'm hearing so many dogs barking. I'm wondering if we're near a dog farm. I mean, I asked the tour guide, can we see a dog farm? I just sort of want to... something just landed on me. What is that? What just landed on me?
That looks like what comes out of the end of a bird.
Oh my god, on my black suit. How did I get bird crap on me when I'm standing out here at night?
Well, it's a very unusual place.
Are you saying... Oh god.
I've shined my torch on it. There's no other option. It's
bird crap on my jacket. In the middle of the night, I didn't see any birds flying. How am I going to get this out? This is a black jacket. This is my only black jacket. This is my only jacket.
Water. There's a river down there if you...
I don't know if I want to do that.
A little splash.
What do you suggest we do?
Well, we could head back to the bathroom.
All right.
So then find the bar.
Head back to the hotel room.
Yeah.
Wash the crap off my jacket, which is not my fault at all.
I've been looking out for animals, and you do see them, and I've seen about three different types of birds. There's a very small one, like finches. There's a larger one that I think they are literally storks.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also what look like magpies.
Magpies, yeah.
And those are the only three birds I've seen. You do hear some. I heard a woodpecker, I think.
I heard a woodpecker.
But yeah, you've done pretty well.
Well, this is the most unpleasant moment I've had yet in this country, so...
And it wasn't my fault.
And it just happened right now. All right.
Could have happened anyway.
So let's go back.
Okay.
You think this will come out?
Of course it will. Well, the quicker we do it,
we don't have any hot water until tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock.
There's a little flasky thing in our room that might have hot water in.
How do you think?
Those pump flasks. It's in the Pyongyang hotel. Mm-hmm. Instead of having a kettle, they had basically a flask filled with relatively warm water. And they've got a similar flask here, which may have warm water in.
Interesting.
So
let's try it.
Let's find out.
Unreal. Yeah, it's trying not to make too much noise.
I think we'll leave that open for the moment.
Alright,
sure.
Where's all this water coming from? Was that there before?
This isn't ours.
I've never seen this place before. We gotta close this door again, wake everybody up. Sorry. Next one down. It's a penalty for breaking and entering here.
That's not ours.
Has ours disappeared? Are you sure that's not ours?
Yeah, because you have to go around the corner to get in.
Well, then it must be the next one.
We went this path anyway. Are you sure we haven't gone?
We're lost. We're lost in this country. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Lost in North Korea. This isn't supposed to happen. We're supposed to be kept track of at all times.
We've been in that one.
Is there another one? I don't think there's another one after this one. Could this be it? If this isn't it, then something's changed in, like, the space-time continuum.
I think this isn't it.
You think this isn't it, or...
Oh, it could be.
Yeah, that squeak sounds familiar. I think I've heard this creak before. All right. Before the bird crap solidifies.
I'll check the flask.
It's warm? Okay, good.
So,
let me take the jacket off. Let's get the sleeve. Lay the sleeve down on the table. Wait. Are you going to dump water on it?
No, I'm just holding it. What are you going
to
do?
I don't know.
We're going to the bathroom.
What's in the bathroom that's going to help?
There's something which will catch water and put it into a drain.
But do we have anything to rub it with?
I'm sure we could find some tissues.
These challenges are just more than I bargained for. Hang on, I don't want to lose things in my jacket as I turn it upside down. I've got all sorts of things in there. I've got quite a story to tell at the bar if we ever make it there. Alright, in the bathroom now.
I see what you need to
do. Oh, God, yeah, you're right. Bathroom slippers. Or sandals, actually. Okay. I'm not good at this kind of thing, so... Let's see.
Okay.
Let's put this lid down so nothing unpleasant happens. How warm is that water?
Okay. Probably, let's take... It's presently warm, but not in any way hot.
Why don't we wet the towel, and then we'll rub the jacket with the towel.
You want to use that towel?
Well, what's wrong with this towel? Is there...
Well, it's your towel, then. It's not my face.
I don't think I'll be able to get a shower in tomorrow morning. A brief window. All right, here we go, rubbing. Oh, look at that. It's coming right off. It's coming right off. I can get bird crap on my jacket now. And I know how to get it off.
That's Mother Nature for you.
Look at that.
Another once over. Check everything.
Ooh, ow!
Sorry, is it hot?
Well, no, it's wet though.
Oh, you don't say ow when things are wet.
What's the appropriate exclamation to use when you get wetness on you?
Stop getting me wet.
there isn't
a wetness.
There isn't a word. Well, there's an obscenity, but I don't think that would be appropriate. Alright, now the only problem is that my jacket is wet.
That won't be a problem in the cold wind outside.
No. Why won't that be a problem?
Oh, yeah, hang on a minute. Now I think it through.
Yeah, where's the hairdryer? No, we don't have one, do we?
Just be thankful that it's...
thankful that a bird decided to, like, unleash on me and...
That's the best welcome a bird can come up with, you know. Short of sitting next to you and laying an egg. Birds can't do anything else.
Maybe they're upset at all the eggs we've been eating.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't eaten a hell of a lot of eggs in this place.
Every meal has at least
two.
One and a half eggs.
Yeah.
There's only one and a half at lunch.
Okay, I guess I'm okay. I can walk around like this.
Happens when you keep getting beer at dinner and it's only half a euro a bottle.
Oh, birds have a go at you.
Well, having to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's true.
With a vengeance. I mean, the bottle is what, 640 milliliters? Is an odd size, if you ask me. I don't know how they got 640 milliliters. And then each one of those bottles is 50 euro cents. I mean, that's just unbelievable. We ordered, we kept getting like, oh, another six bottles, and it was an incredibly small amount of money. Okay, we're going over this wacky bridge I'm kind of afraid of. What's that brilliant light coming down the river? Did you think that was a person? That scared the hell out of me. The shrubbery that we just head high, I thought it was a person staring right at us. Oh my God, look at that. Look straight up. Do you see what that is?
Wow.
Is that Kim Il-sung?
Well,
I mean, is that the statue of Kim Il-sung?
There's a chance of it.
Wow, that's brilliant.
I have no idea.
Even though you could see it from here.
That's
we've been doing a lot of climbing. It's a lot of dogs barking. Do you really? I mean,
well, it may just be like two.
Yeah, but they've been going at it. I guess those are pet dogs, but who knows around here?
Well, apparently they taste nicer if you keep them individually, you see. So,
are you making that up?
No, I mean, that's exactly what she was explaining. They have pet dogs. but they also prefer not to farm dogs per se, but to keep them individually, but for meat. So,
well, that dog might be being kept individually, and he knows it.
Exactly.
He wants out.
You know, he's seen his number, and it's going up high.
Right, so I'm not sure how.
Now those are our colleagues, as it were, going back home.
Ah.
Guess where the bar is.
I don't know how to address people across the river.
Excuse me. Can you help us? The answer to that is no.
Yeah, you see, that's what I was afraid was going to happen. Then we just simply make ourselves look pathetic. I mean, I don't think they've already left the bar, unless they really only had half an hour of activity in them.
We need to really find out, I think.
Well, follow the strobe lights. Oh, yeah, right. All right, Danny. You've been listening to a special edition of Off the Wall, recorded in Kaesong, North Korea. We'd welcome your feedback at otw@2600.com, and we'll be back again next week with a regular edition of Off the Wall. Good night.
Korea. Dear listeners, at this, we conclude the English language service of Voice of Korea from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Goodbye, dear listeners. This is Voice of Korea, Pyongyang.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.